two before the plaster comes in. Place the list on their feet while we just sing a verse or two. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find.
Worthy of glory and by the blood of the Lamb, set my spirit free. Worthy of honor and worthy of glory and worthy of praise is He. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace. We thank You for the songs we've been singing tonight, for truly You're worthy of honor, worthy of glory, and You're worthy of praise. You've redeemed us, not by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. Lord, we love You with all of our hearts tonight, because You first loved us. Lord, we bless Your name this evening. We praise Your name this evening. We place Your name in this house and this service over everyone in this room tonight. We place the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, cover us with Your precious blood. Wash us in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Sanctify us tonight. Touch men and women's hearts and lives in every situation, everything, Lord, and even as our brothers prayed. We ask You for wee Carter tonight, for Your mighty touch upon him. We pray the angel of the Lord will come near him. We pray You'll speak to him. We pray You'll move upon him. We claim him right now in the name of Jesus Christ for You. And we pray, Lord, You'll set him free in Jesus' precious name. Bless Your word to our hearts. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And Lord, I thank You that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn tonight to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and I want to talk a bit about the better covenant, but I really want to look at, briefly this evening, why Jesus is better than the prophets, and He's better than the angels. And this will just be the first service on this. I want to look at other things, why He's better as well, but there's so many things that He's better. He couldn't preach it in one service. And I want to be brief tonight. I want to give us time to pray. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. As may be seated, we know that God will bless the reading of His word tonight. Praise God. In the Old Testament times, we know that God spoke to the fathers. Now, we often refer to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and we often refer to the hearts been turned. There's the fathers. The hearts been turned to the children, to the fathers, and the fathers to the children. And here we know this is referring right back into the Old Testament. And Jesus turned their hearts. And we know that the spirit of Elijah turns the hearts. And we know that the Lord Jesus does that. But God spoke to the prophets, and when you study this, it means parts and parcels. He spoke to them. So basically what that means, they didn't know it all. That's the difference. Jesus did know it all. They knew what God showed them. But Jesus, knowing all things, the word of God says, knowing all things, praise God. God spoke to the fathers, but the prophets, the revelation came to them in numerous ways. You know, different ways. You could go over in the Old Testament how God spoke to them in dreams, visions. That's how the Lord worked with them in parts. Over and over again, the Lord spoke to them in parts. The word of the Lord came to the prophets, and they spoke accordingly as the word of the Lord came to them. So they weren't the word. I want to stress this tonight. They were not the Word. The Word had to come to them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the Word. Because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now there's a phrase that for years has been around massive churches. And I'm going to say tonight it's false. Absolutely false. When they say the Word needed to be restored. Jesus Christ never ever needed to be restored. That is a false statement. The Word itself never could be restored, for it was never backslid. It was never changed. Because Jesus is that Word. Now the church needed to be restored. And the system and all them things, certainly. But the Word itself never needed to be restored. The Word to the people needed to come. All them things we know. But Jesus Christ being the Word could never need to be restored. That's wrong. How could he need restored when he cannot make a mistake? And the first thing he said never needs change. It's perfect the first time. How many believe that tonight? Praise God. The Word of the Lord came to the prophets. However, all the prophets were but a type of Christ. They were but a type of Christ. When you look at Moses, you're seeing Christ in a type. When you look at Elijah, you're seeing Christ in a type. But the Word Christ. And it's the same right till today. Anybody that God uses, the Lord could be in them, the Spirit of God could be moving in them, but they are not the Lord. They're not the Lord. But Jesus Christ is not just a prophet. He is the God prophet. The God prophet. And many great preachers referred to them as the God prophet. That's the difference. The Word of the Lord came to the prophets. Christ was the Word. There's a big difference. And some people say that certain men are just exactly like Jesus. They could be close to them. I'll agree with that, but they're not like him. They cannot be the same as the Lord. Because if they were the same as the Lord, they'd be without sin. But Jesus Christ is the only man that had no sin. He knew no sin and he had no sin. That's why he is the only man that could take the place to be the Redeemer. No other man could take redemption, that place, to redeem you and me, because they're born sinners. Praise God. In the Old Testament times, that's how God spoke, but the Lord was the Word. Let's read John 1. I know we know it, but we're going to read it again. John 1, verse 1 to 3, and then we're going to read 13 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. You know, when you read about the Lord Jesus, you know what he said to the scribes and Pharisees before Moses was, I am. And they said, you're not yet even 50. How can you be before Moses? But that's what he told them. He said, in another place I come from God and I go back to God. You know, when you read through these epistles, it says, all things were made by him and for him. And without him, was not anything made that's made. He is the beginning of creation of God. And we know that the words are kept by him. They're kept by him. They're not kept by global warming. They're kept by the Lord. And my opinion, I told a fellow the other day, do you know why I think that the world's not just functioning right? Let me put it like that. And I'm not saying that there's not heat waves and strange things. There is. There is heat waves and there is floods. Do you know why? I believe why. Because of the bombs going off. Now that's only my opinion. I'm not telling you that's from the Lord. But I believe because of the atomic bombs and the things they're putting off in the earth. It's affecting the earth. In a way, there has to be a reaction. And then you know the whole world's groaning, travailing. She's in birth pains. For the manifestation of the sons of God and the second coming of the Lord. Would you say the earth was not made? All these poems can happen, and these things can happen in the earth. There's a fact in the earth. You say, where's the poems? Well, I tell you, they're going to happen all over the world. And you know they're practicing nuclear weapons and everything in places, and you know nothing about it. Did you know over in this country not so long ago, there was a fellow at a certain place, down at a certain big lake, and a submarine popped up out of the water. And he took a photograph of it, and it was a nuclear submarine. How many knows about that? It made the headlines. Did you know about that? Well, that was here in Northern Ireland. There's things going on in this country we don't even know nothing about, and there's things going on in other countries, but God knows everything. And there's things that man does. You see, Brother Branham said, who gave man the knowledge to split the atom and make the atomic bomb? He says, God didn't, the devil did. The devil gave him the knowledge to do it. And you know, everything man does is to kill himself. And they talk about making a better world to live in, but the prophet of God said they're making a better world to sin in. And that's what they're, exactly what they're doing. Verse 3, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, what prophet made the world? What prophet made the world? Not only did the Lord Jesus make the world, but my Bible says worlds. It's not singular, it's plural. It says worlds. Now, I can't fully explain that, and I know you could have some smart fellow could give us interpretation of it, but nevertheless, the Word of God says it, and we can't change it. Amen. And he made all things. All things. Now, God could permit a prophet. God could permit that he would give the word to the prophet, and that prophet could speak, and creation could happen. How many knows God can do that? We've seen it in Moses and Elijah. But that's God permitting it. But Jesus Christ was the Word. He was the Word. It was with him all the time. Now understand what I'm saying here plainly this evening. I read you about Brother Branham on Sunday about that vision, and he had to do exactly the way the Lord showed him. And we know that Jesus maybe operated similar, but you have to understand that the Lord Jesus could not make a mistake. Are you seeing what I'm saying tonight? But any man, no matter how good a gift he has, can make a mistake. But the Lord cannot make a mistake. So when somebody says that which is perfect has come and refers that to the human instrumentality, it fails right away. Only Christ can be that which is perfect which will come. Because if it's to do with human mentality, it'll fail. Because, you see, if we could be saved by keeping the law, well, they couldn't be because they broke it anyhow. They broke the law and says no man could keep the law, but Christ did and fulfilled it. Man failed by the law, didn't it? Every one of us. If we took the Ten Commandments in this very room tonight, I know myself I'd fail. I'll guarantee every one of us would fail somewhere. If told a liar, stole, or done something, all of us would be guilty. But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came and gave us redemption through his blood? And we're in a better covenant tonight because of it. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. That means special, unique one. Many of these religions around the world today, when they take Christians, especially those that believe in the Trinity, and I'm not knocking tonight people that believe in the Trinity, because there's people believe it and they're probably close to what we believe. They don't really believe in three gods. It's just a way they've learned it and express it. So I'm not knocking that, but I'm just telling you the fact. They take that, you see, and then they take Adam, and they start out and they say, now, Adam was a son of God, and of course the Father's going to say, yes, he was, and you're a son of God if you're saved, and yes, you are, and that's the road to go along, and then they take you down that road with the Lord. But then what you need to do is take them over to Isaiah 9, verse 6. The government shall be upon his shoulders, the mighty God, the counselor, the everlasting Father. And that'll settle all that there. But that's the way they work, you see. And why they work with that, they want to make Jesus just as one of the prophets. Are you following me now here? You see, they want to make him as one of the prophets that he's not really God. And he's just as one of the prophets. But I want to tell you tonight, he's greater than the prophets. For he made them. He made the prophets. And before there was ever a prophet, he was there. He was there. Look at verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." That means made him known. Manifested him. That's why Colossians says, "In him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now I know there's people preach today that that fullness dwells in a prophet, the same as it did the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe that for one minute. Would that mean then that prophet could save you and me and redeem us? Absolutely not. And anybody that preaches that's preaching a false doctrine. There's no prophet outside of the God prophet Christ Jesus that can save. There's not nor one. And you certainly can't save yourself. You know the people, they're saved themselves. That means then Jesus went to the cross in vain. We could never save ourselves. The Bible says, "For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we know that he came to save no one but sinners." That's who he came to save. When the prophets Moses and Elijah appeared in the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice, and we're going to read it, the voice of Almighty God spoke out of glory. The glory cloud was overshadowed Jesus and said, "This is my Son, hear him." I tell you, let's read this, Luke 9, 27 to 36. Let's read these scriptures tonight. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I want you to read these scriptures. But I tell you of the truth, there are some standing here which shall not taste the death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. Excuse me, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glittering. Something happened upon him. Is that right? Verse 30, "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias." It's not wonderful. Now these are the two prophets that was in the Old Testament, but now you're reading in the New Testament, they're talking with the Lord. But remember, his countenance has changed when they're talking with him. Something's happening here. This is why we believe these are the two men that's coming back to the Jews. Because these are the two men appeared and they talked to the Lord. And you know in Revelations, there's two prophets coming back to Israel. And they're going to seal them. 144,000 of them in one day. Amen. Verse 28. "And it came to pass about an 8 days after that saying, he took Peter and James and John up onto the mountain to pray." Verse 29. "As he prayed, the face of his countenance was altered, his raiment was white and glittering." Verse 30. "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." So these two men are speaking of the cross and Jerusalem. They're preaching it. They're talking about it. Now that's a key for you. Do you know why? Because William Branham says they will preach the same gospel to Israel. Somebody says, "How are they going to know it?" Well, they know it here. Even before the Lord goes to the cross, they know it. And they're talking here with them all about it. That's what they're saying here. "And behold, they're talking from two men." Verse 31. "Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which should accomplish at Jerusalem." Verse 32. "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awoke, they saw his glory and two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. So they knew who they were. Not knowing what he said. Verse 34, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Boys, I tell you, that's a bit like our brother John talked about in his experience, the cloud. They went into it. This is remarkable. This is something I'm telling you now. There's more to this than what we're saying now. This is deeper than what people think. They went into this cloud. I tell you something, that's something. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Into it. Verse 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. So they went into the cloud, and the voice came out of the cloud. You could run over to the book of Job, and you could see, for the whirlwind comes down, and a voice comes out of the whirlwind and speaks to Job. That's the voice of Almighty God. Verse 36, and when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Now go down to Matthew 17. There's many different accounts in the Bible. That's why you need the gospel. It's like a brother Gary sees something and I see it, and brother John sees it. And you know, it's like the fella said, maybe an elephant's not a good description, but you could look at the head of the elephant and another fella look at a different part and you're seeing different things, but it's all the same elephant. It's not right. But when you get all the gospels, all speak of the Lord. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 17, verse 1 to 9. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun in his raiment, white as the light. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. If thou wilt, he says. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear him. Amen. You see, everything what God sends, whether it's a prophet or an angel, everything that the Lord sends is not to get us to worship that which he sends, but it is to get us to worship the Lord more, because the Lord will not give his glory till another. And even when the apostles did the many miracles, they said, why stand ye gazing on us as though we done this? But this was done by the name of Jesus Christ. They never took the glory, and they can't, because it's the Lord. And when we see many men that God used, there's a tragedy happening in the earth today. People's worshiping men because God used them other than the Lord of the man. And they're worshiping the wrong thing. That you'll be worshiping the Lord and giving the glory to the Lord. And all this should turn our hearts more to follow Jesus Christ, to love him more, and to see his greatness and glory. This voice says, hear ye him. Hear him. Hallelujah. While he yet spake, glory to God. Verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now, when you read in these accounts, here's another example. You hear so many modern people, and they say that visits and different things, and they jumped about and skipped about and all this nonsense. But yet, when you come to the Bible, and when you hear genuine experiences of people that really something happened with, they weren't jumping and skipping about, they were afraid. And the Bible says these disciples fell on their faces with fear. They met something supernatural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they fell on their face sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. I tell you, they had the Lord with them that could tell them rise and don't be afraid. You think they were with the Lord and they were still afraid. And then with people today claiming this and that and all this nonsense. I've heard so much rubbish over the years. There's a fellow, you know, and he said the Lord appeared to him and had a game of football with him and said, we'll meet you tomorrow at 2 o'clock, make sure you're here and all the rest of it. That's pure nonsense. As Brother Jones says, that's the new word we're using, full nonsense. That's what that is. Don't never believe nonsense like that. That's full nonsense. I'll tell you, if an angel or some visitation happens from the Lord, you'll not be skipping around the place. You'll be in fear. I'm telling you, when God really visited me in that jail, I can tell you I was afraid. And don't you worry yourself. I had no fear of a prison guard or some boy coming into the jail. I had no fear whatsoever of any of that. I wouldn't have been afraid of anything like that. But when that happened, I was afraid. I was paralyzed on the bed. I feared to move. And I said like that for a long time. And eventually I slipped out of the bed onto my knees and cried unto the Lord. But I'll tell you, I didn't run jumping around the cell. But you see some of the... You see, emotion sometimes might not be God. You could have a big display of emotion and there's nothing at the end of it. All it is emotion. And you could have somebody with absolutely no emotion that prays a simple prayer, something can happen. Now, we believe in emotion, but we're not working on emotion. I tell you, we're working on the Word of God. By faith, praise God. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So it was classed as a vision. But they had an experience. You see, in one place it said they went into a cloud. And we know that out of that cloud the voice spake. You know, William Branham was caught up in the cloud. How many knows that? He was caught into the cloud. And he was shown things at the end time. And we believe that. But we still don't worship the man. We must worship the Lord Jesus Christ, not the man. And I tell you, if he was to come back tonight, you know, if William Branham come back tonight, I can tell you what. He would rent a lot of pulpits out. And a lot of stuff that's going on under his name, which is absolutely false. It's absolutely false. And it does not glorify Jesus Christ. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, disappeared from the scene, leaving Jesus with the disciples. Get that what I've just said. They disappeared from the scene and Jesus was left with the disciples. And God can use things to speak to you or me, but we're left with the Lord. It's the Lord that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's the Lord that we need to pray till. You know, there's a good Catholic friend of mine the other day, and he was telling me that his wife was out on her, she does a bit of running, and she was out and she felt the presence of her brother with her. And I says, I don't doubt it. But I says, you can't pray to them. You're forbidden to pray to the dead. The Bible calls it the spirit of necromancy. We're not even permitted to pray to the Virgin Mary. Did you know when I'm preaching tonight the truth? The only one you can pray to is the Lord Jesus Christ because he's not dead. He rose from the dead. Amen. You cannot pray to no prophet or no angel or any of them things. It is the Lord Jesus Christ alone that we address our prayers to. He is the one and the only name that's given under heaven whereby man must be saved. And God has given him a name that's far above, not just above, far above every other name. The name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. He's greater than all the prophets. Greater than every one of them. They all pointed to him. They all spoke of him. But he's greater than all of them. Jesus is the new covenant personified. He is the prophet, the word personified. And he is the total revelation of God. He is the revelation, the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he unfolds himself further and further and further, right down. And it's him all the time. Praise God. Christ is indeed better than all the prophets combined, for all pointed and shadowed forth his person and ministry. And he's greater than all the angels. He's greater than the angels. God uses angels, but he's greater than all the angels. Did you ever think of this? That the angels he made. He made the angels. You say, Brother Tom, I don't know. Well, the Bible says all things are made by him. All things are made by him. He's greater than them. And there's teachings also go about, and they say that Lucifer, now Lucifer's a fallen angel. And some people preach he is the brother of Jesus. That's a lie. He's not the brother of Jesus. Because Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Special unique. Hebrews 1, let's read verse 4 to 14. Let's read it again, and I'm closing in 5 minutes. Hebrews, I'm only giving you a few nuggets tonight. Hebrews 1, verse 4 to 14. Being made so much better than the angels. Right, and you're opening reading. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And every single angel, and I don't know how many angels there is, brothers and sisters, I don't know. I know there's a lot of angels. But every angel has a name. Did you know that? And there's some angels you read of their name. But here you read right away in verse 4, he has been given a more excellent name than any of the angels. Than all of them. He's greater than all the angels. For unto him, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. We are not to worship angels, but angels are to worship the Lord. You cannot worship an angel, but the angels are to worship the Lord because they're inferior to the Lord. The Lord Jesus is superior to any prophet or any angel. You could go over in Revelations and you could read for someone appeared there to John and you know they wept and John had a conversation and everything. You know what I'm talking about. And wept and no one was found worthy to open the book or loose the book. But the Lamb opened it. And the Lamb was the only one found worthy. There was no prophet could do it, but the Lamb done it himself. Because he's greater than any prophet or angel. My whole objective is to get you to worship the Lord more, like myself as well. And see how great he is. We need our attention more in Jesus. I really believe the Holy Spirit's telling me these things. That we need to focus more on Jesus Christ. I believe God spoke to me some years ago that I need to preach about him more. Yeah. That's what I believe God told me. And I've been trying to do that since then. Now, in order to do that, some other things have to be dropped. Because they cannot take the place of the Lord Jesus. They cannot. They're not important to praise or anything about them. But the Lord is. The Lord's important to praise. The Lord's important. It's him. You're using his name in prayer. You're using his name in the worship, in adoration. You're giving all the praise, all the glory to him. Praise God. Wasn't it wonderful how our brother Davey brought the things out on Sunday night and how emotional he was when he spoke of the Lord on the cross? It blessed me. It's Christ we're to preach. I tell you one thing, you know, that's why C.H. Spurgeon was such a success. Because when you read the things he wrote and his sermons and his preachings uplifted Jesus Christ. Amen. That was always the center of his message. And every prophet, that'll be the center. What the point you tell? Verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and ministers of flames of fire, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Before God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Are you reading this? Are you following me here this evening? Some people might think, well, the Lord didn't do it. Here it is. And the heavens are the work of thine hands. That lets you know he was here. He was there ever before he came here as a man. He pre-existed. Hallelujah. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. But the which of the angels said at any time, sit down my hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Which one did he say to? Not a one of them. Because Jesus is the head. Hallelujah. Verse 14, and they, not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And the angels are sent forth to minister to us, ministering spirits, but it's to point us to Christ. Yeah. Never to the angel. A messenger sent from God will never point you to focus on the messenger, but he'll point you to focus on the one that he's representing. John says, I must decrease, he must increase. John didn't preach John, he preached Jesus. And I tell you, it's Jesus Christ we're appointed to. Oh, I would to the Lord tonight, what we'd get a real hold of this. I'm reading one more scripture and I'm going to have to close. My time's going. Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hold on to them. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. It was the will of God. God's will. We often worry, maybe you don't, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but we often, why couldn't God do this? God can do anything he wants to do. And God's will be done. Christ is better than angels. Angels are created beings. Angels are ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation. Angels have their own given names. The Old Testament is full of examples of the ministering angels to humans under the direction of God. There's loads of examples. However, angels are not to be worshipped. Angels themselves worship God. And, you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was given a better name than all the angels because he inherits that name. He inherits a better name than all of them. My, I tell you, there's something more than that name than we ever can comprehend. The name of the Lord is more excellent name, the only begotten of the Father. One scripture and I'm closing. 1 Peter 3:22. Who has gone into heaven, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Glory to God. I tell you, there's no demon can do a thing to you when you've got the name of Jesus. If you really believe it tonight, there's power in that name. There's authority in that name. There's an inheritance in the name. And you've been given the name and a right to use it. Let's come and let's really pray tonight. Let's really seek the Lord. And if you don't know what to pray, you can just tell the Lord you love him. Thank him for saving you. Praise God, aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we worship you tonight. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for all the angels. We thank you for all the wonderful prophets But Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. For not one of them could go to the cross and redeem us. Not a one of them. But Lord, you went the whole way to Calvary. And there you suffered and died alone. You took my room and my stead. You took my place. And you bled and died for me. You were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace is upon you. And with your wounds, with your stripes, I'm healed. I bless your name tonight, Lord Jesus. I want to give you all the praise. I want to give you all the glory. I want you to help the Lord to lift your name up. I want you to help the Lord to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater way, to preach you more, to worship you more, to live for you more, to praise you more, to know your love more and deeper and broader and wider. Oh, God bless your people in this room tonight. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, cover them with your blood. Let us know the touch and the power of God. Those that need a miracle in this room tonight. Oh, Lord, grant it, I pray. Touch them. Deliver them. Touch them in Jesus' precious name. Move on all of our children, our sons and our daughters, nieces, nephews, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters. Lord, we speak the name of Jesus Christ over them tonight. We plead the power of your blood, the merits of the blood of the Lamb. We plead over them tonight. Cover them in your blood, we pray. Let that token be applied upon them and save them, everyone, in Jesus' precious name. We ask for those, Lord, that was weary tonight, or maybe somebody had to work, couldn't be here. We pray you'll bless and you'll strengthen them. We pray you'll meet every need to everyone in this room, to everyone represented in this room. Lord, that you'll have your way. Break in amongst us, oh God, in a greater way, with the power of God, with the anointing of God, with the move of God. Break in our families in a greater way with salvation. Lord, we want to see people saved. We want to see men and women delivered by the power of God. Oh God, grant it, I pray, Lord, that ere you come, that we'll see many slain to the Lord, weeping and coming to Christ. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless us tonight. We thank you for the word of God. For the word of God is yea. And it's amen in Christ Jesus. Hear a little, learn a little, so is the word of the Lord. Your word will not return unto you void. It'll accomplish and prosper the thing you send it till. You keep an eye on your word, Lord, and you bring it to pass. And we praise you for it. Lord, bless us now. Help us to pray in this room as we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. This let's continue to worship the Lord tonight.